You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to Guys Who Like Musicals.
Welcome to Guys Who Like Musicals. This week, we are dedicating our episode to the great Hal Prince, and we're going to do Little Things We Love. No interviews for this week because we really needed to talk about the Prince of Broadway.
Yeah, love it. Here we go.
So an actor is saying his lines, and then out of nowhere, he just starts singing.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Jimmy, don't cry for me.
How boring am I without you here?
Listen,
I have no expression. I was like, is this how I am in auditions? Like, there's no sense of expression. I'm like, everything is kind of the same. I'm kind of afraid to like say anything differently.
You sound like you kind of sounded like a really sad NPR host.
Right.
Like reading.
I was trying to go fast.
There was an earthquake this week.
Right. And exactly. That was exactly a good line reading.
Yeah. Man. That's okay. You were great. You did great.
It was fine.
I'm happy to be back. There's a lot.
But
yeah, I thought you did great.
I Thanks.
Thought you did really great on your own. I mean, technically, like, you did insert what the two of us talked about, the Cats trailer. And
yeah,
so
and that
you
was, like, the only
you
thing
weren't
they
just
killed.
On your own.
I know.
I was here in spirit.
Yeah. How was your trip?
Trip was great. Italy's a little magical place. I was reading Under the Tuscan Sun by the pool under the Tuscan
You're
Sun in
actually
Cortona.
The worst.
I know. I know. But honestly,
also,
I don't care.
So now you like Aperol Spritz?
Yeah, you don't make them right.
I think you're wrong.
You don't make them right. I swear to God.
In my defense, I got better at making them after I had them in Italy because I realized that it's like very little Aperol.
Yes.
The recipes
and a huge chunk of orange.
Okay.
Not a rind of orange. Yeah. Chunk of orange. And I think you need Italian Prosecco.
Mwah. Oh my God. You're the worst.
I'm home. You missed me. Come on. I've been telling everybody at the show this week, I feel like a Chianti-soaked noodle.
Oh.
Because I am a noodle, and I have been doing very poor performances of Frozen the Musical for the last three shows.
For the last
6 months. Yeah, there you go. That's what you're going to do.
Since February? I mean, since you
right.
came back?
Exactly, oh. Oh, exactly. Good. Oh, gosh, savage. It's tough out here. It's tough out here.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
Is it?
Yeah. What should we sing? We didn't sing the last 2 weeks. We should sing, Dan. Let's sing.
What should we sing? We should sing something in honor of...
It's the little things you do together.
No.
We've already sung from Company.
We should sing from Phantom, bro.
The music of
Why would that be the song
night?
You choose?
That's a great song.
Let your mind
I don't care who you are.
To Dude. Never knew before.
I do this for Julie all the time. It's her favorite. I don't know any of the words.
This is not
knew
her favorite.
Before, just... Let your soul take you where you want
to be.
You're like the worst musical theater kid that's ever existed.
Hear that tone?
That's with the falsetto and then the breath just taking
falsetto
over.
to cracks and folds is what I call
that. I think
that
Hal Prince
is
turning over in his grave. I think that if he knew that this
Too
is what
soon.
Was happening. No, seriously. So this show...
Welcome to Guys Who Like Musicals.
Welcome to Guys Who Like Musicals. This show is completely dedicated to Hal Prince. The original guy who liked musicals. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about him. And I think that there's really, like, it's almost like, where do you start? Because the guy had a fingerprint on basically everything that you and I and the Broadway community and anyone who's ever been to a show loves about the theater. They like it because Hal Prince had something to do with it. Like, for you know, he...
Like so many iconic shows.
And so many iconic
that we
shows
still
that
talk about.
Inspired iconic shows. And so many people that he inspired. And so many people that he worked with that then went on to... You know, that he fostered as a producer or that he fostered as a director or that, you know, it's just, it's endless. And so we're going to talk about it. And that's kind of one big things we love, and then we'll do things we love at the end.
Hal Prince died on Wednesday, July 31st. He was 91.
91. And I think when my grandmother passed away, she died and she died at 85.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, this family, the guy who runs the funeral home is a family friend. And he was like, I wish that when I die, I can go out like your grandmother. Seven kids, a ton of grandkids, couple great grandkids, wonderful legacy. Like, you know, my grandmother lived a full life.
Sure.
Hal Prince lived a full friggin' life.
For sure.
91.
Yeah, and he was still
married
noted.
To his wife. He married his wife. He's been married to his wife for like 50 years.
Probably more than
two
that.
Two kids, grandkids, like, and just the greatest musical theater legacy of anyone. I mean, you can argue. Argue against that.
He goes back, like, he was started working in the business when Porter and Rodgers and Hammerstein were still, Cole Porter and Rodgers and Hammerstein were still writing shows.
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
To think about, like, the fact that he was still, like, seeing Raoul's and Christine's for Phantom of the Opera and still going and noting that show and making sure that that show kept the integrity alive.
Yeah, and just back in 2017, Prince of Broadway came to, I think it was the American Airlines Theater, which was basically a review of his shows and shows that he had a piece of. And he directed it at, I guess, you know, 2019 minus two. You know, he was 89 years old and the dude's still directing a show on Broadway.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So let's just roll through his credits real quick. So can we just... as a director or as a producer, starting as a producer, he was a producer on The Pajama Game, Damn Yankees, New Girl in Town, West Side Story, Fiorello, Tenderloin, A Family Affair, Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. His first real success as a director came on She Loves Me in 1963, Fiddler on the Roof, Baker Street, Flora the Red Menace, It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman, Cabaret in 1966, Zorba, Company, Follies, The Great God Brown, Don Juan, A Little Night Music, The Visit, Holiday, Candide, Love for Love, A Member of the Wedding, The Rules of the Game, Pacific Overtures, Side by Side by Sondheim, On the 20th Century, Sweeney Todd, Evita, Merrily We Roll Along, Diamonds, Grind, in 1986, The Phantom of the Friggin' Opera, as the director, he directed that. Rosa, Cabaret, The Revival, Kiss of the Spider-Woman, The Showboat Revival in 94, Whistled Down the Wind, A Candide Revival in 97, Parade in 98, Hollywood Arms, Bounce, Love Music, Prince of Broadway in 2015. And there's other things that aren't even on that list, but...
And that was a lot of things.
That's a lot of things. And we could sit here and talk about all of them, but I think... one of the coolest places to start is honestly like at the biggest, like the Phantom of the Opera. Boom. I just dropped my water. Phantom of the Opera. It's the longest running show in Broadway history.
Yep.
It's the most commercially successful theatrical enterprise of all time, meaning movies, tours, international shows. That thing has brought in over $1 billion. Going back to when his first producing credit was The Pajama Game with John Raitt in 1956? 54.
Great show. John Raitt, guy who likes musicals. Bonnie Raitt's father.
Yeah. I think that the cool thing, I mean, everybody has been, there's been a lot of like tributes and posts and they dimmed all the lights on Broadway. This is a cool tradition that people don't know about. When a member of the Broadway...
Have they done all the theaters yet? I know they did Phantom.
They did. Did they?
Yes, they did Phantom like the night of.
They did Phantom yesterday.
Yeah.
Did they do the whole town or was it just Phantom yesterday? So when a famous or prolific member of the theater community dies, the theater owners dim the lights on Broadway, which is a tradition that goes back many, many years to honor the life of someone in the theater who has given their life to Broadway and to the musical theater, and they dim the lights in their honor. And they did it last night. I saw some pictures and videos of stuff going around. The cast did a tribute to him, and so that was really, really remarkable. And I think he was one of these guys who did the classic, you know, he started as a producer and, you know, a producer who wanted to direct, which is kind of a tale as old as time in the theater, and got his chance. Directing the original production of She Loves Me was his first real commercial success. But also I was watching an interview with him where he talks about The Pajama Game being his first commercial producing enterprise. Yeah. And it was a smash hit. It was one of the biggest
hits. In the beginning,
hits.
They couldn't find money. They couldn't raise the money.
Yeah.
Because they've got some unknown guy named Bob Fosse choreographing. Who the hell's that
guy? Who the hell's Bob Fosse?
And who is Shirley MacLaine?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They become these like huge names. And yeah.
Yeah. And I heard a story that he wrote a letter when he graduated from college. He wrote a letter to George Abbott, the famous Broadway producer and director. He wrote a letter to George Abbott and said, I want to work for you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just let me work for you. And I'm living with my parents and I'll work for free. Like, you know, doing whatever. And that started a friendship and a partnership where they produced many shows together. But the first one was The Pajama Game. The very next show that they did together was Damn Yankees. Also, Little Mr. Bob Fosse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about all the shows you love that Bob Fosse did.
Right.
Right? And think about his stretch and how he was fostered by Hal Prince.
And Cabaret.
And Cabaret. One and then moving into especially his relationship with Andrew Lloyd Webber. He didn't direct all of Andrew Lloyd Webber's shows, but he certainly directed the biggest Andrew Lloyd Webber show in Phantom of the Opera. The guy had his hand in everything.
Sondheim's most prolific collaborator?
Sondheim's most prolific collaborator.
Nice.
Yeah, my mouth doesn't work.
It's okay.
Because you said jet lag's not a thing, but I'm so tired. But I just think that it's a celebration. Like, the guy was unbelievable, and this is it should be a celebration of his life. So go back and listen to the original cast album of Company or Sweeney Todd or Phantom of the Opera or Fiddler on the Roof. My God, like, think it's about insane. Every person who's seen a production of Fiddler on the Roof.
Right.
You know, it's the number one show, at least when we were in college, it was the number one show done by high schools across the country. So chances are you were either in it or you saw it, you know, and I was in it. I was the most Aryan white Tevye that ever lived. I was like 16. It was horrible. But it's such a perfect show, you know, and then just, I mean, going down the list from, I'm sorry, we're rambling now, but like he fostered musical theater from an era where it was pop culture to an era where it wasn't pop culture to an era where it was the most pop culture, meaning he came off the heels of Rodgers and Hammerstein and he did The Pajama Game. Then he moves the industry through the rock and roll age, through Hair and through Tommy and through
And
Rent.
It looked like you could never do another
classical musical.
And he was like, that's not true.
And he's like, that's not true. And he comes out with a big fuck you and says Phantom of the Opera, which, you know, he wanted to create with Andrew Lloyd Webber and make it as big and as extravagant an experience as possible so that when the audience came in to the theater, they just forgot the world around them. The way that we all do, like you go to the theater to escape, and he said that you'd go to the theater to escape. And so he fostered the theater through all of these different, you know, decades of change. And then he's sharing basically a season. It was the season after, but he is doing a review of his greatest hits on Broadway the season after Hamilton opens, when Broadway has taken the mainstream by storm again. So it's just like the guy had seen it all and done it all. And, was truly one of the great guys who like,
you know,
musicals.
We wouldn't be here if it weren't for him in many ways.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that, you know, he had changed the game. There was no such thing as a concept musical before.
Right.
Before he came along.
Yeah, and if you have a chance, we don't have to get into all of it, but like listen to him talk about how he conceived Cabaret.
Right.
He was in the army. He hung out at a bar in Germany, in Stuttgart, watching the now version of the MC that we know, the Joel Grey version. He conceived all of that. He created all of that. And, you know, had such a fingerprint on that show as a way that a director, you know, so a lot of times I think a director is given a script and given an idea and said, you know, do the best you can. And he completely conceived that show and everything from, you know, the movie that was directed by Bob Fosse to the stage show that he conceived and directed, just changing the game of musical theater. There's one other thing that I wanted to say. Oh, he directs the original production. No. So he produces the original production of West Side Story. Hal Prince won the most Tony Awards of any human being to ever live. 21 Tony Awards.
Wow.
And that's very interesting in the scheme of like what awards mean, because a lot of people would ask him like, what, you know, you've won all these Tony Awards. And he's like, yeah, winning them is great, but it's also not about that, because it's about the art and it's about making musical theater the way that you want to see it made. And that was one of these quotes that I wrote down. He said, make the musical you think it should be. And I freaking love that. Like when you're making something, make what you think it should be and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And whether you win Tonys or not, it doesn't matter. Coming from the guy who won more Tonys than anybody who ever lived, it's like, you know, he stood by. And West Side Story stands the test of time, but I just was watching these interviews where he's like, we knew we were changing Broadway history. We knew that we were in the room making something incredible, and it was not accoladed at the time. And now there's a movie and a new movie and a new Broadway production coming out this year. So you know what?
It's crazy. Like,
so anyway.
Thank you, Hal Prince, for all that you've done for the business.
So great. Okay, things we love. You want me to go first?
Yes, please.
I usually go first. Things we love this week. Moulin Rouge opened. Moulin Rouge opened at the Al Hirschfeld Theater on Thursday night. I did the out-of-town tryouts and the lab productions last year, the Boston production and the downtown. We did the lab downtown. So I love that cast. I love those people. And the Moulin Rouge is open for business. It is loud and...
And did you read that review?
And yeah, man, the review, they just... Yeah, Brantley loved it.
Do you think that someone paid Ben Brantley to give them that review?
No. Paid? No. Listen. That's not...
Hot take here. Okay.
Dan's got a hot take. He thinks that...
Who the hell needs another jukebox musical? And the thing about that movie is that the most iconic part about that movie is the visual editing style.
Yes.
It is a musical, sure.
Yes.
It's not really a great musical for musical's sake. It's like a concept where it, like, you know, calls to all these things that are clever, but it's not musical theater as an art form like how Prince would have wanted. Just saying. And then to read Brantley, who just is like, it's amazing. I was like, what kind of cold day in hell is this that this show is going to get these reviews like this?
I have a little bit of a take on that as well.
Well, yeah, you should. Yeah. You were in the room.
Yeah.
But
okay, so I'm going to talk you off the ledge on two different accounts. One, Ben Brantley, I have heard, loves Alex Timbers. And Alex Timbers has not had a commercial success. Who directed the show? Alex Timbers, who directed Moulin Rouge.
Right.
He has done a bunch of stuff. Peter and the Starcatcher, Here Lies Love.
Right.
Rocky, this season, Beetlejuice, and also Moulin Rouge, and many other projects as well. But he has not had a commercial success. So the rumor that I heard was that that review is a bit of a love letter from a New York theater critic who loves a director who wants that director to be successful. And that show happens to be Moulin Rouge. It doesn't have... It's like, was Kelly O'Hara's best performance, Anna and the King and I? Is that what she should have won a Tony Award for? I don't think so. But it was about
Another hot take. It
was about her time to win a Tony Award.
Right.
She was magnificent in that production. That's not what I'm saying.
No,
what
but
I'm
I hear
saying
what you're
is
saying.
She's
yeah.
done some amazing work. That amazing work was up against maybe more amazing work in other seasons, and also like the Tonys are super political. So my feeling is that regardless of what you think about the show, I actually, if that is true, and that's only a rumor that I've heard, is that Brantley really loves Timbers. And if that is true, I love that. A vote of confidence from the most powerful theater goer in New York City and probably in the world to say, you know, I want this guy to keep making theater. Cool. Yeah. So that's and one part. Like, yeah. So
that's not a terrible reason.
Yeah. So that's part of it. Also, as far as like, listen, I'm a Moulin Rouge purist. I love that movie. And there are a lot of people who love that movie and a lot of people who are like, meh. It's visually stunning and whatever. The story's not great. I saw it when it came out. I went to the theater to see it with my mom. I used to listen to the cast album on my Walkman on the bus in middle school and pretend that I was listening to rap music because I didn't want to get beat up. I love that movie. And the musical takes a lot of deviation. It really changes a lot from the movie. But one of the things, and this when my agent came to see it in Boston, he said, you know, there's five pillars of theatricality, plot, structure, character, something else. And one of them is spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
Spectacle does have a place in the theater. Moulin Rouge is spectacular. It is visually stimulating in the same way that the movie was from a theatrical standpoint.
I see.
So I book-wise, music-wise, whatever, but you're going to walk in. People, I mean, you've seen the pictures. You walk in and it is a costume set extravaganza. Apparently there's flying now. We didn't have flying, but apparently people do some flying in the show.
Wow.
So that's kind of me like coming to bat. But I'm also done with the jukebox musical because like next season, as of now, there are no original musicals opening on Broadway. They're all jukebox musicals. That will change. Yeah, for sure.
I saw that too. But that leads to the thing that I love this week, which is this new Ross Golan show called The Wrong Man that Ryan Vasquez is doing with Sierra Renee and Josh Henry.
I just saw his social from it, but please explain.
Ross Golan is this guy who's written pop music for a lot of very famous people who I don't have in front of me to quote, but he's only released this one song. He has a concept album apparently that I think he's planning to release at some point before they open the show off Broadway, but it sounds incredibly unique. You know, it's Tommy Cale directing and Lacamoire supervising, which is the team from Hamilton. And you've got
Jinx,
like some pretty great talent leading the cast. But I'm really excited to see something that's like actually original. Yeah. That's about it's The Wrong Man. So it's about a black man who's wrongfully accused of a crime.
Nice.
And you know their social marketing is on fire, so check that out too.
I always
dig something with a clear streamline, but yeah, I'm super excited to see what that show is about. Apparently it's already selling out performances at MCC.
Nice. So yeah. Dan wants more original musicals.
Dan does want more original musicals.
Yeah, so does Joe.
So if you make musicals,
yeah, sidebar,
get to work.
What were you doing this week, Dan? You did something kind of cool this week.
Yeah, I was gonna make a Things I Love that was like about how I love not being in musicals, but then
what? No. What were you doing this week, Dan?
I was filming a TV show.
Dan was filming a TV show.
Yeah, that was cool.
This was very exciting. Look, you're playing modest, but this is a very, and you can't talk a lot about it because like, you know, that's how they make you sign your life away a little bit. But you get to fly to Toronto.
Yep.
Do a costume fitting, fly back the same day.
Do a musical.
Do two shows that same day?
No, that day I had one show, but then I flew, then I did the five show weekend. Then I flew to Toronto on Monday. Showed up on set at 10 a.m. the next day, and then
somebody
worked
brings
with
your breakfast. It's a sweet life.
Right. And then, you know, did a big long. It was just one big long scene for 5.5 hours with a two-time Oscar winner and an Emmy winner.
The cast,
playing my mother.
You sent me a picture of the cast, the call sheet. That's just an insane cast. And everyone will get to know more about this. But this is a very cool. This is a cool job, Dan. This is
I'm excited.
It's very cool.
I get to go back, so that's even more exciting because I've never done something like recurring like that. So
I love business trips.
I'm excited.
If
it
you know
fun.
Anything about my Instagram, you know that I love business trips.
Joe loves a business. He's like, what can I get here? I can write it off.
Put it on business card.
Can I write off these 6 bottles of Jameson at duty free, or what are you guys thinking?
Duty free.
Oh, and also the other part of that story that's awesome is that when I was on the plane home, I sit down and sitting next to me is Chris Diamantopoulos, who some of you may know from Silicon Valley or The Office or from the multiple Broadway shows he did. He played Dr. Pomeroy at one point before I joined the company. And he's sitting right next to me. And all I can think of is that character from Silicon Valley, which is so iconic.
Yeah, he plays like the world's worst guy on Silicon Valley and the world's like kind of one of the best guys on The Office.
He's
like
a really
good
guy
who like saves the day at the end of The Office. But
so I went over to him and I was like, hey, man, you know, I'm headed right now to 2 shows at Waitress because, of course, like after I did my 14 hours on set of filming, I had to fly back to do 2 shows. So I was like, I'm about to go to Waitress for a 2-show day. And he was like, no kidding. Oh, my God. Like, I love that place. Blah, blah. Well, you know.
What a
and we talked
world.
For like 45 minutes. I'm definitely going to ask him to be on the show.
Yeah.
Because I could have just pressed record and done a full podcast. Well, he basically just launched into the fact that, like, he started doing musicals. And then
when he was a kid. He was a child actor.
And then he moved to L.A. when he was 26 and was like, I'm going to be famous. And he's funny because he does a lot of the same voices that I do. And he's like, I'm going to be famous. And then that didn't happen.
Yeah.
So he moves back to New York. He's in the Full Monty. He's in Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually it obviously ends up happening to him. Now he's like with William Morrison, Untitled. And he's got fancy representation. And
well, he's
done
he's
a bunch
like
of
one
really
of these guys
awesome
on
things.
Guest, like he's guest starred on a million shows. So if you didn't see him in Waitress or if you don't know who we're talking about, if you looked up this guy's face, you'd be like, oh yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, good luck spelling it, but
Diamantopoulos, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's pretty cool. So Dan was shooting a TV show. That's something I love, Dan. We love jobs.
Yeah, we like to work.
All right, that's all we got. Next week, we got a great interview. We'll do more of the same, more news, all sorts of stuff happening all the time.
Yeah, we got 3, sorry for the lack of interviews this week, but we've got 3 pretty cool ones coming up.
And we really wanted to talk about Hell Prince. And,
yeah.
You know, if you get a chance to listen to the original cast albums of
any
anything,
of the 70 shows that Joe read,
just do it because it is it's worth your time. Like, subscribe, do the thing, and
if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us on Instagram at Guys Who Like Musicals. We've been getting some questions in the DMs, and I think we may need to start answering those questions on air. I've got one from this week that maybe we'll answer next week.
Sweet.
And so if you have any questions about anything, try and get specific. A lot of times the questions are kind of broad, like, do you have tips? Yes, we have lots of tips, but we'd be able to help you a lot more if your question was more like, I don't know, how do you cut a 16 bar?
Or what a dance belt is. Do you know what a dance belt is? If you don't know what a dance belt is, look that up.
No.
That's all for
you know what
this
we should
week.
Do? We should end this episode with a recording of something awesome.
That's what we're
going to
do. That's what we're going to do. Hal Prince. Adoro, Maria. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.